Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for coming here this morning. I know it's a really early session. So I'm really happy to be here presenting at the APHA. So my study is entitled Homeless Health and Access to Healthcare in an Urban Setting, a Social Epidemiology. So I have no relationship to disclose. So just to give a little background on homelessness. So in 2012, over 600,000 people experienced homelessness on a given night. And lower socioeconomic status and economic inequality is associated with poor health status. Homelessness also exposes one to various risk factors for illnesses, exacerbates existing health problems, and jeopardizes one's health. As we all know, we have yet to find an effective healthcare delivery system to serve the homeless population living in big urban areas across the United States. So therefore, I think it's important to understand how homeless individuals view their health and the types of barriers they face in accessing healthcare, basically in order to identify a sustainable healthcare delivery method. So the objective of the study was to assess the health status of the homeless individuals and examine the relationship between health and conditions of homelessness in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So specifically, we're looking at the burden of health problems, access to health care, and the perception of health. Okay. So this, we recruited 70 participants between November 2011 and January 2012. So data was collected on demographic characteristics, self-reported health status, and life histories, and they were collected using an ethnographic survey and semi-structured interviews. So all the interviews were taped and transcribed later, and everything was, like, the data was analyzed using SPSS and NVivo for qualitative data. Okay, so this table here shows the sociodemographic of the study population. What we see is that participants ranged in ages from 18 to 65, with the mean age being 44, and only 20% were females, but in general, this was, and there were very few females compared to the males at the study site. So most people were never married or were divorced. So you can see right here, 53% identified themselves as a Euro-American, which is consistent with the city demographic. A significant number of individuals, over 50%, only had a high school diploma or less, and remaining had college or above. Also, 53% did not have a source of income. And this table shows other variables that may be related to health. So 45% of the people had been homeless for 3 months or less, and 21% had been homeless for 3 or more years. However, even those that had been homeless for less than 3 months had cycled in and out of homelessness previously. So despite the availability of three different shelter facilities in this area, 21% continued to live in the streets, and people tended to live both in the shelter and in the streets. Furthermore, 27% consume alcohol on a daily basis, and like 75% use tobacco. So use of narcotics was not very common in this population. The most common drug was marijuana, used by 31%, and crack cocaine was used by 8%. Also, 94% reported that they had access to food, and in addition to the food from the shelters and soup kitchens, 63% of people also bought food using food stamps. Okay, so this table shows the distribution of the various health problems that were reported. So a staggering 76% of the study population identified at least like one health problem they were suffering from, and more than half reported multiple conditions. So high blood pressure, reported by 30%, was the most common physical health condition, followed by asthma. And in terms of mental health, depression was the condition with the highest frequency of 40%, and unspecified mental illness was reported by 19%. Also, 43% reported oral health problems. So how do homeless individuals perceive their health? So 68% said they are in good health, although 63% of those reporting good health also reported health problems just described. Also 46% said they have seen changes in their health since becoming homeless, and 34% reported these changes as worsening of already existing conditions, developing illnesses such as chronic cough and cold, and generally being in more pain. 49% were taking one or more prescription medications, and 20% of them were for mental health. And furthermore, physical and mental disability was cited as a barrier to work by 30%. So do homeless individuals have access to health in this area? So 87% said they can seek professional medical care when ill, but 40% of these people choose the emergency department as their primary source of medical care. 65% report that homeless people face barriers that's preventing them from obtaining proper health care, and 40% of the sample did not have health insurance, and another 40% were covered by Medicaid and Medicare. Also, 38% of those with insurance and 54% of those without insurance choose the emergency department as their primary source of medical care. Okay, so moving on to discussion. So it's evident that the burden of health problem is high in the homeless population, with 76% reporting health problems, but there definitely exists a discrepancy between the burden of health problems reported and perception of health, because 61% consider themselves to be in good health. However, their definition of good health doesn't just include the physical, mental, and social well-being cited by the WHO. Good health for homeless individuals was described as being alive, eating right, not having pain or stress, not having medical problems, and not taking medicine on a regular basis. So their definition of good health also does not, there's also discrepancy between the definition of good health and their perceived health status. So although many perceive themselves to be in good health, changes in health due to homelessness were also reported, and previous research has established that poor health can both be a cause and a consequence of homelessness, and homelessness is seen to exacerbate already existing conditions, and risk factors may be difficult to manage when homeless. So access to health care is definitely an issue to be considered in this population, when over 50% of the people said that they face barriers that prevents them from obtaining proper health care, and one of them being lack of insurance. So the lack of insurance not only worsens the illness because of delay in addressing health problems with the medical professional, but also increases the cost of providing medical care because individuals resort to emergency departments. And despite the availability of several free or discounted clinics just a couple blocks away from the study site, those with and without insurance are choosing emergency department as their first source of professional medical care. And this was because of the difficult appointment processes faced in these free clinics, limited hours of services, and previous bad experiences and stereotypes they've faced. So the discrepancy in the health problems reported and the perception of health points to a limitation of the study of using self-assessment of health, which may not have been the best method. A physical exam by a medical professional would definitely provide a more accurate reflection of health status. However, this discrepancy and misperception of health also illustrates an important potential barrier to accessing or potential barrier to improving health among homeless, and may explain why they rely on episodic care instead of primary care and like preventative care and management of chronic illnesses. Okay, so my conclusions and recommendations. So obviously changes need to occur at a structural level to end poverty and homelessness. And we all know that housing the homeless is one of the essential thing to improve health. However, until that happens and we work on the structural problems, in the meantime, we can improve the health of the homeless individuals during the transitory period, because not everyone that is homeless are chronically homeless. So we can improve their health in this transition period so it doesn't get worse, and we can do this by improving access to healthcare and by reducing known risk factors to poor health. So first and foremost, as I said before, access to healthcare is necessary, which will now hopefully be more accessible because of the Affordable Care Act. And although this is a necessary first step, it is also important that the homeless are informed on the benefits of Medicaid and Medicare, such as a simple thing as the availability of free flu shots, and how to use the new insurance card to go to a primary care provider instead of going to emergency departments. So homeless shelters and other organizations that are aiding the homeless individuals already help them obtain Medicaid and Medicare. But if this step is just taken, like if we take one step forward and help the homeless individuals basically set up a primary care physician, at one of the free clinics, it would significantly reduce the economic cost and the highest burden of diseases, such as depression, which was reported by 40%, and high blood pressure, which was reported by 30%, would be better managed when patients have the opportunity to work closely with their primary care provider. Okay. So that is all I have. I don't know why this keeps been moving. Okay, so I just wanted to thank all the homeless individuals that this was an ethnographic study, so they shared their entire life history with me. So I want to thank them for participating in the study, and I want to thank Dr. Mola, my advisor, for providing support and guidance through this entire process, and my current advisor, Supriya Mehta, for helping me prepare this presentation. Thank you. Yeah. So we have 5 minutes, I think, for questions and discussion. Sorry, I flew through that. Yes?
I'm just curious if homeless people reported that they were experiencing long waits for appointments and that they were being mistreated in clinics. Did they not report that they were having the same experiences at the emergency department? I mean, at least long wait times, I know, have to be a thing, but did they not feel that they were, stereotyped or mistreated by emergency department staff?
Yes, they did, but so that's the qualitative portion of the study. I presented mostly just descriptive data, but yes.